Welcome to Harvest Mission Community Church. You are listening to one of our sermons.
As you know, we have started our 21 days of prayer, and we're hoping and praying that all of us will join and be a part of this. Even if you've joined midway, just continue to just be a part of this so that we can be praying for OCR, and as well as the new season that is coming up. And as we talked about last week, as we started this whole series on prayer, it was our desire to accomplish two things. We really wanted to grow in our devotion to Jesus. One of the most powerful things for us as we are walking and living our Christian life is learning how to love Jesus more. And one of the best ways to do that is to be in prayer and learning how to pray and go deep with Him in that personal walk. And then we also talked about how we wanted to grow in our dependence on Jesus as we think about this new year that's coming up. So last week, that's what we talked about, the importance of prayer and how that's connected to our relationship with God and also to one another. Because when you begin to pray, there's this deep, abiding, trusting relationship with Christ, and that's where it all starts. And then from there, you begin to pray for people. And as you begin to pray for people, what happens is that you begin to love them, because it is not your own love, but it's the love that Christ puts in us as we pray to Him and ask Him to fill us with His love. And that's why as we now look at this part two, I want to talk about what it really means to be reliant upon Jesus and the work of the Holy Spirit and connect that to the importance of prayer. So I want to start off this morning and just talk about this idea of being reliant or dependent on God. I want to ask you this question. The question is simply this. I'm wondering if any of you have been in a situation or maybe an experience that you've gone through where you completely are not in control, and it's the overwhelming feeling that you are experiencing in that moment. And I'm just wondering, as you go through that, what are some of the things that you think about? What are some of the things that you go through in terms of your emotions when you face those situations? I mean, if you're like me and many other people, you know that it is in those times where you start questioning a lot. You start thinking, does God really love me? Does God really care for me? Why am I experiencing the things that I'm experiencing? There are some of us, when we go through these difficult times, whether it's through circumstances or situations that are beyond our control, we begin to wonder if God is for us or if we did something wrong. But I just want to encourage us as we think about this, is that sometimes the difficult things of our lives, the situations that we're facing, those are the very things that will help you to grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. It will mature you. It will deepen your faith. It will cause you to love Him and to let go of those other extraneous things that are not helping you in your walk with God. That's why it's vital to understand that not all hardships and not all difficulties or hard situations are bad things. In fact, even in the animal kingdom, or the animal world, you will notice this. Now, those of us who might not have known, but my family, I'm not an animal lover. Forgive me, please. Still, I'm your pastor, but I am more of an animal watcher. I don't mind watching them, but one of my favorite animals in the animal world is an eagle, and there's so much about the eagles. There's so many great traits. When you study it, when you watch it on video, you will notice that there are so many different things about the eagle that you could actually draw some parallels with biblical principles. And one of the things that you will notice about an eagle is that they actually go through this process of renewal. They go through this painful process in which they put themselves through, because as their beaks get bigger, it hinders them from being able to eat and do anything. So they go through this process of renewal, and I want to show you in video, because I could try to describe it for you, but I want to try to have this video explain to you exactly what the eagle goes through so that it can literally be renewed and reshaped so that they can live longer. So at this moment, let's go ahead and watch this video and see a lesson from the eagle. Wasn't that incredible just to watch that? For the eagle to go through this rebirth, to experience this renewal. I mean, I was just thinking about to break its beak, how painful that must have been, and to wait for the new beak to grow, and then using that beak now to pull out the feathers. I mean, this is a painful process, but as you saw on the video, that it is through this process the eagle is able to live longer, even 30 more years of their lives. And so that's why we want to talk about this idea of learning how to depend on God, but sometimes it's understanding who God is, as well as going through sometimes the difficulties and the struggles to help us to be dependent on God. It's amazing how God, in this chapter that we're going to be looking at in Isaiah chapter 40, that he uses the illustration about the eagle, and as we just saw, and how that's relevant for us as we are weak and as we go through difficulties and as we face hardships in our lives, that we can renew our strength in him. And so that no longer are we doing things on our own strength and power, but we are doing it according to the power that he gives unto us. So that's why the one thing is simply this. Let me give us the one thing. The one thing is, as we grow in our reliance on God, we'll see the radiance of his power. Let me say it again, that as we grow in our reliance on God, we will see the radiance of his power. That it's really about relying on, depending, trusting on God, and we will see his power shine forth in our lives. So there are two things I'm going to talk about this morning as we remember to grow in our reliance on God in order to see the radiance of his power. The first thing is, as we hopefully, if you have your Bibles, turn to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 25 through 31. The first thing is this, that God reminds us of his power. You know, as we have been sharing, that it's often easy to forget. We forget about the things that God has shown us. We forget about his character. We forget about his goodness. And so here's God. He's going to remind us this morning about his power that is so different from all other powers in this world. So if we're going to grow in reliance upon God, we have to understand his power. So if you have turned to Isaiah chapter 40, I want you to notice here, to understand the passage that we're going to focus on from verse 25 on, it is a prophetic message that the prophet Isaiah gives. And that's why we have to understand the context in which Isaiah is trying to communicate things to the Israelite people. So all throughout chapter 40, Isaiah contrasts this idea or this fact of the greatness of God is completely different and contrasted against the weakness of humankind and the false worship that many of the people here were worshiping. And so the question is simply this, that Isaiah is trying to get answered. The question is, how can this small remnant of Jews how can they return from the Babylonian captivity and become a nation? And will God be faithful to us? That's the question that many of the Israelite people were thinking about. They're saying, how can God do this? We are right now in exile. We are now in captivity. How can he deliver us? Will he be faithful and will he be true to us? And that's why the answer that he is going to answer for us is simply only through God's greatness and power, not through human strength or human wisdom can it happen, but it's only through the power of God. So once we look into this passage, I hope that you can come out of this understanding that we have to know the power of God in our lives. I want to specifically talk about a couple things here, two things that we must understand when it comes to knowing God's power. The first thing is this, that God is unrivaled in his greatness. That God is unrivaled in his greatness. We'll see this in Isaiah chapter 40, starting from verse 25 through 26. Let me go ahead and read these two verses. This is what the word of God says. To whom then will you compare me, that I should be like him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out their hosts by number, calling them by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. What you notice is here is Isaiah the prophet. He ends up asking these two questions. Who compares to me? Or speaking on behalf of God, the prophet, he's saying, who compares to me? And who created all these things in the universe and filled them with stars? Now, all throughout this chapter, Isaiah is trying to show that God is greater than all of the created world. It is because God himself is self-sufficient and he doesn't need anybody to help him create the world or the universe. So that is something that is trying to be established in this chapter. Earlier, Isaiah was asking these similar types of questions. Look at Isaiah chapter 40 again, and we're going to look at verse 12 through 14. Listen to what it says. I'm going to read from the NIV. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hands, or with the breadth of his hands marked off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket, or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in a balance? Who has understood the mind of the Lord, or instructed him as his counselor? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him, and who taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge or showed him the path of understanding? And as you're thinking about some of these questions that are being asked earlier, the answer is simply no one. Because God, being self-sufficient and independent from us, he is the one who did all these things. So it is a reminder that there is no one who participated or who helped all that we see around us and all that God has made. Even in verse 15 through 17, as well as verse 21 through 24, Isaiah mentions that God is greater than all the nations and that he's greater than all the powers of the kings and the rulers of this world. I don't know about you, but that's a good reminder for me, because sometimes when I'm opening up the news and I'm looking at all the things that are going around, all the political situations and all the different nations and some of the wars that we see that's happening, something inside of you begins to wonder to yourself, is God really there? Is God even powerful enough to stop some of these atrocities that we see? Some of the genocide that we're seeing, some of the people who are experiencing evil, some of these people who have experienced pain. And when you look around and you begin to wonder, and there is moments of doubt, is God fully in control? Is he fully sovereign? Is he able to, is his power strong enough to overcome? But here is Isaiah reminding us that not only is God self-sufficient and he is independent from us as he created all things, but he says even the nations and the rulers and the kings of these nations, they have to bow down to the power of God. That it's God who's more powerful than these people. And then we see in verse 18 through 20, we see that even idols are no match for the God of the universe. Listen to what it says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 18 through 20. It says this, to whom then will you compare God? What image will you compare him to? As for an idol, a craftsman casts it, and a goldsmith overlay it with gold and fashions silver chains for it. A man too poor to present such an offering selects wood that will not rot. He looks for a skilled craftsman to set up an idol that will not topple. So Isaiah, he's asking these questions. Like, even the idols that we make, they're not even comparable to God. There's no one who is a rival to who God is. There is no one who compares to him. Our Father, the Almighty God. In verse 26, it reminds us that even if we look up, and it says here, if we look at the stars, we know that God, in his power and his greatness, he's the one who created them. And it's because of this power, of his power, not one of them is missing. And it almost creates this idea of he's literally holding each of these stars in place. Psalm 147, verse 4, reminds us of this. And how God creates all things and even knows the number of stars. Listen to what it says. He determines the number of the stars. He gives to all of them their names. Can you imagine that? He's the one who's holding all the stars in the universe, and there are billions and billions of stars. But he knows every single one of them by name. That is why no one is rivaled to God. No one can compare to the God that we serve. The second thing I want you to notice is this. God is not only incomparable in his greatness, but I want you to notice here, unrivaled in his greatness, but I want you to see that God is incomprehensible in his wisdom. So not only is God unrivaled, but he is incomprehensible in his wisdom. Look at verse 27 through 28. This is what the word of God says. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. So here in verse 27, Isaiah is addressing the question that some people might be feeling and thinking, that maybe God forgot about us. If you will, look at the Message translation of verse 27 to understand the feel of this. It says this, why would you ever complain, O Jacob, or whine, Israel, saying God has lost track of me. He doesn't care what happens to me. And isn't that what normally happens? When we go through things and things are difficult and we feel like people don't care, we're always having these little pity parties and we're complaining, we're whining. And so here's Isaiah saying, why are you complaining? Why are you whining? Because there's a God, whatever idea and concept you have of him, if you cannot see that he's unrivaled and he's the greatest God in the whole universe, there's no one who compares to him. What he's helping them to understand is that even his wisdom cannot fully be fathomed. It is unsearchable. So Isaiah is telling the people, not only is God an everlasting God, the creator of the earth, that he doesn't grow faint and weary like us. Once again, in everything about who God is, he is so different from us. Listen to what the Message translation says about verse 27. It says this, don't you know anything? Haven't you been listening? God doesn't come and go. God lasts. He's creator of all you can see or imagine. He doesn't get tired, doesn't pause to catch his breath. I love that. And then listen, and he knows everything inside out. God doesn't get tired. He doesn't pause like us after we climb up some stairs or after we walk or run or climbing this mountain. He doesn't lose his breath. That he knows. He knows us inside out. That he knows our situation. He knows where we are. He knows exactly what we're feeling. He knows exactly what we're going through. And it's this understanding of who God is will help fuel the prayers in our lives. It shows us clearly that God is not the absent father who is so distant from us. This transcendent God who doesn't even come into our lives. In fact, it is just the opposite, because it is with great wisdom and with great love he ministers to us. He is perfect in all his ways. Therefore, whatever you're going through, this is where you got to trust that maybe this is the very thing that you need in order to surrender some of those things in your life. Maybe the things that you're going through right now are the things that you need to face and you need to confront so that you can let go of some of the idols in your life, because you have been worshiping everything else but Jesus. God in his wisdom, because it's unsearchable. We'll never be able to fully understand why certain things happen. But are you willing to trust him? Do you know that he's good? Do you know that he wants what's best for you and for his glory? When we think about God, who is unrivaled and incomprehensible, why wouldn't we want to pray to a God like this? The reason why some of us do not pray, the reason why some of us struggle with trusting and putting our hope in Him is because we do not know God. If you knew God in this way, that as we have just read this morning, who is unrivaled to anything else in this world, to any other person in this world, and all that He has created, when you look out in all of creation, and when you think about how unsearchable His wisdom is, that we will never fully understand because His wisdom is infinite and our wisdom is finite, why wouldn't we pray to a God like this? That's why we have to be able to know His power. Oftentimes, it's our belief about God and about ourselves that dictate if we are self-sufficient or we are dependent on ourselves. If you don't believe that God loves you or God cares for you, then you're not going to trust in Him. You're going to trust in yourself. So what is your belief? What is your idea? What is your conviction about who God is? Do you really believe that He's unrivaled in His power? Do you really believe that He's unsearchable in His wisdom? Because God is trying to remind you of His power, of who He is. And that's what will motivate us to then pray and to be in prayer, because we believe that because He is unrivaled and unsearchable in His wisdom, that there's no one else we can turn to, but we can only turn to God and be relying upon Him. How about us this morning? I'm just wondering, are you focused on your situation or the things that you're facing rather than seeing the greatness of God? I want to encourage you, sometimes you just have to step out and see a sunset or a sunrise, or maybe in the night sky when you're away from the city lights, but when you see the sky, you see the stars, and you realize that He has fashioned every single one of these stars and He knows them by name. Do you know God deeply? Do you believe in His power? Because that will help you to pray and learn how to be reliant upon Him. What is there in this world that you're facing or going through or we will face in the future that His power and His wisdom cannot overcome? That's why God reminds us of His power. And as we're talking about our reliance on God in order to see the radiance of His power, we first talked about how God reminds us of His power. Because without that knowledge, we're not going to turn to Him, we're not going to pray to Him or depend on Him. The second thing that I want to talk about is simply this, that God renders His power to us, that He renders to us His power. We're going to look at verse 29 through 31 as we close out with this last part of this chapter. Listen to what the Word of God says. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, He increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not be faint. What we notice in these last three verses of chapter 40 of the book of Isaiah is that as we've been talking about God's power, it has been demonstrated through all of creation. That's why He's unrivaled and unsearchable in His wisdom. But now what I want you to understand is that that power that we see in all of creation, it is now imparted to us. It is rendered to us. It is given to us. So those people who were in the Babylonian captivity, it says here that they felt weary and faint, and they had no strength to go on. In fact, the prophet Isaiah reminds the people of not only His power, but he wanted to remind them that He will be the one who will render this power to them. So here are a couple things that we notice as we look at these last three verses. The first thing is that God imparts his power. Not only do we have to just know it, but we have to believe it, but we have to act upon it. That God imparts his power to us. If you look at verse 29 again, Isaiah reminds us that the God of the universe, he's the one who gives power to the faint and those who are feeling weak and powerless. So this is something that does not come from our own, but it is something that is given by God. He renders it to us. Look at some of the other translations of verse 29. I'm going to read it from the Message translation. It says this: he energizes those who get tired, gives fresh strength to dropouts. Look at what it says in the New Living Translation. It says, he gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Once again, it is not a power that we can get on our own. It is something that is given to us. It is something that is rendered to us because of who God is. In fact, God's power is something that is given in such a way that we're able to experience it when we learn how to pray and learn how to depend on him. You know, there are many of us, I'm sure that you've probably experienced in your life, where you're so exhausted, so tired. It almost feels as if you just don't want to get up or you cannot even face the next day. And in those moments when people are either praying for you or you get on your knees and you cry out to God and all of a sudden you feel this renewed sense of energy, you get energized or this power that comes upon you. Like that is not your own power. That is a power that is imparted to us. That's why in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 and 10, listen to what it says. It says, but he said to me, this is Apostle Paul speaking, my grace is sufficient for you, for what? My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Verse 10, for the sake of Christ, then I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I want you to try to understand this, that it's almost as if it's an oxymoronic statement or it's very counterintuitive, that when we are feeling weak and we don't have the strength or the power, it's actually when you are in a good position to receive the power that God wants to impart to you. It's not when we're doing well or when things are going great. But it says here that when we are weak, so the weaker we are, the stronger we can become. And the only way we're going to experience this, as I mentioned earlier, is through a heart that is dependent on God, and it's through prayer. Listen to what it says in the Message translation of the same verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 and 10. And read the yellow sections with me. Listen to what it says. And then he told me, my grace is enough. It's all you need. My strength, come on, say this with me, comes into its own in your weakness. So once again, it's not something we earn, something we try to gain, but it comes unto its own in our weakness. It says, once I heard that, I was glad to let it happen. I quit focusing on the handicap and began, say this with me, appreciating the gift. So it is not something that we gain, but it is a gift that God gives unto us, and therefore we are thankful. We appreciate what God is doing, that in our weakness that God is giving us the power that we need. Let's continue on. It was a case of Christ's strength moving in on my weakness. So it's Christ's strength that comes in. Verse 10, now I take limitations in stride and with good cheer. These limitations that cut me down to size, abuse, accidents, opposition, bad breaks. I just let, come on, say this with me, Christ take over. And so the weaker I get, the stronger I become. Can I ask us, have you allowed Christ to take over? Just think about some of your relationships. If it's messy or there's conflict, have you allowed Christ to take over? How about some of the situations in your workplace that are beyond your control? Maybe it's gossip, or maybe some people are against you. Have you allowed Christ to take over? It might be a situation with your family. Some of the things that you're facing, and once again, it is beyond your wisdom and your control. Are you allowing Christ to take over? Is there a sense of rest and peace, knowing that the God of the universe, who is unrivaled and unsearchable in his wisdom, that he is the God that we pray to because there's power? Are you able to trust? Does it motivate you to pray rather than trusting in yourself? So it's God who imparts this power to us. Here's the second thing, is that God not only imparts his power, as we talk about God rendering his power to us, but we see here that God ignites our strength. It's God who ignites our strength. It's important to notice the phrase, who wait for the Lord. You see that? Who waits for the Lord. I want to give you different translations of that phrase, waiting for the Lord. And if you would read the yellow section with me, it says this in the New Living Translation. But those who, come on, say this, trust in the Lord. Look at the NIV, it says this, but those who hope in the Lord. And I'm going to read the Amplified Version, say the yellow section with me. It says, but those who wait for the Lord, who, what? Expect, look for, and hope in him. So what we notice is this idea of trusting, hoping, expecting, looking for, that when you are actually doing that, even though those things have not changed yet, even though you don't see the visible demonstration of its power, by you hoping, trusting, depending, and which causes you to pray and believing that this God who is so awesome, what it does is that it really begins to ignite strength in your life. Why? Because listen, it seems as if this act of wanting, or excuse me, waiting and trusting and hoping, what will it do? It says here in scripture, it says that it will renew our strength. Once again, let me read you some of these other translations of that phrase. And the yellow section, if you look at it, that's the emphasis. It says here, the New Living Translation says, will what? Find new strength. It's almost like you're going to discover some new strength that you've never experienced before. The NIV says, but those who what? Excuse me, in the New American Standard Bible, it says what? That they will gain new strength. It is not a loss, but it's actually a gain for us. And listen to what it says in the Voice Translation. It says, will regain their strength. So the strength that you might have had before, I mean, we always get depleted, but we're going to regain the strength. And listen to what it says in the Expanded Bible. It says, we'll become strong, what? Again. So as you're living and walking with Christ, as you face different temptations and situations in your life, sometimes your strength is depleted. Your strength is gone. But those who wait, who trust, who hope, who expect, who look for. Those who wait upon the Lord, it says here that they will renew their strength. Now, that word renew is very important. It's a biblical word that it kind of gives us some insights to what it really means that God's going to renew our strength. The word renew can be literally translated as change strength. In fact, this word kind of has this idea of this imagery of changing your clothes, your old clothes, into fresh clothes, the new clothes. Or it's kind of like when you're exchanging something old for something that's new. You guys all know what that is, especially when you have an old phone. And all of a sudden you have money saved up, or somehow someone gifts you, or whatever the case may be. And with your old phone, you're enjoying it, but it's a little bit slow. You can't get all the apps in and stuff like that. And all of a sudden you exchange that for a new phone. You know that feeling. And this other idea of changing into new clothes, you know that feeling. When you go out in a hot day when it's about 32 degrees Celsius, and it is humid, especially living in Hong Kong. And you walk outside, you take a shower, and then you walk outside, you need another shower because you are sweating like crazy. You know what I'm talking about. It's not just from your forehead. It's your whole body. There's parts in your body that's sweating that you never thought would be sweating before. So here you are sweating like crazy, and then you finally, after a long day of work, you come home, and then what do? You shower, and then you put on new clothes. That is the word that Isaiah uses about the strength that will be renewed if we learn to wait, hope, trust, look for, and expect the Lord to come and do his thing. You know what the sad thing is? For many of us, we haven't experienced this. To me, when I was studying this and I saw that word, it really jumped out at me. You know why? Because as you know, this summer we went to Nepal, and one of the places we went to is in the mountainous regions. I would tell you, it was not easy. Not only was it hot, because it wasn't just hot in Hong Kong during the summer, but all over the world it was just really hot. And I remember we're up in this mountain, and it was so hot, and we were sweating profusely. I came up with a new packing list. Do not bring any clothing that's made out of cloth or cotton. You got to bring either linen or you got to bring some of the dry fit. You know what I'm talking about? So what happened was we could only take a small suitcase up to the mountain. So we had to ration and proportion our clothing. So here in my mind, I knew how many days we will be in the mountain. So I'm trying to ration my clothes, and so I don't have to carry this big bag. And guess what happened? As soon as we got up there, I was drenched. It was so hot. And no AC whatsoever. This is the mountain area. Now, you would think that by being high up in the mountain, it would be a little bit cooler, but it was still hot. So they had fans going, but it was hot. And there are times when we're sleeping and the fans are on, but then electricity cuts off so then we're dying. So here's a thought that came to my mind. I could hate this feeling and I could change into some new clothes. But then when I change myself into the new clothes, I'm going to be stuck with the old clothes now because I'm one clothes or one outfit down. And so there was this rationale in my mind. I'm like, I just got to endure this. I got to endure the sweat. I got to endure wearing the clothing when I'm sweating like crazy. But there was this longing. And you can ask any of the missions people. There was this deep longing in our hearts. If we could just change our pants. If we could just get new underwear, if we could just get a new shirt, I mean, it was like this, we would have that more than food. We were like dying. And so like when I think about this word, renew our strength, it makes so much sense to me. Because there are times in our lives we go through things and we just feel as if we're just all sweaty and we're tired. And things are hard, the difficult things that we have to face. But if we get on our knees, knowing who God is, who is unrivaled and unsearchable in his wisdom, the God who reminds us of his power, now he renders it unto us as he imparts it to us as we begin to pray. And as we are there, can you imagine? As we cry out to God, he is going to ignite this new strength that comes from him and him alone. We cannot do anything on our own strength or power. It will always fall short. This is why, as we said earlier, we have to trust, we have to wait, we have to hope, we have to look for, and we have to believe by faith that he will provide everything we need. That's why I love Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, which Apostle Paul understood this verse very well as he wrote it. He says this, "For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." The Message translation says this, "Whatever I have, wherever I am, I can make it through anything in the one who makes me who I am." Man, I want to read that again. Listen to what it says. Whatever I have, wherever I am, I can make it through anything in the one who makes me who I am. I'm wondering if this is your heart. Not only do you know who God is and his power, but you are so dependent in prayer that you're actually experiencing just this renewal and ignition. Your heart is being ignited because his power is being manifested in your life. And it doesn't come from us. As we do our part of prayer, it's God who imparts that into us. How about us this morning? I'm just wondering if you're struggling this morning to find strength or power to do the thing that God has called you to do. I'm wondering if some of us need to spend some time in repentance because instead of trusting and waiting and hoping, looking and expecting for the Lord, we've decided he's taking too long and things are not working and we try to take things into our own control and power. I'm wondering, do you believe in the power of prayer? This is how you know you believe in it. You pray. How often you pray, how often the first thing in your mind when situations come up, if it is for prayer, then you believe in it. If prayer is not the first option, then maybe you don't believe in the power of it. That's why God renders us to us his power. And this really is the simple gospel message, that every single one of us, the sound of my voice, every single one of us, we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In fact, we are powerless in our sin. That's why no matter how much you try to overcome that temptation, no matter how much you try to live this righteous life, you will always fall short. It's because sin is deeply within us. And that is why Jesus Christ had to come into this world. Because he knew that we were powerless. He knew that we had limitations. He knew that we could not try to earn our own righteousness. He knew that we could not try to merit something that's apart from God. That's why he came into this world and he died on the cross so that we may have new life. I'm just wondering here, if some of us, we have never trusted fully in Jesus Christ, that we have trusted in ourselves, we have trusted in circumstances, and maybe today, this morning, you're simply saying, I'm tired. I'm tired of trying to do things on my own. I'm tired of trying to figure things out because my wisdom is finite. But God's unsearchable wisdom is what I need. God's unparalleled and unrivaled power is what I need. And that's when you humble yourself and you say, Lord Jesus, I believe in what you have said in your word and who you are, and I fully trust in you. I give my life over to you. I repent of my sins, that there is no other God like you. And there is no salvation that can be found apart from you. Your life will never be the same. That's why, once again, as we talked about, as we grow in our reliance on God, we will see the radiance of his power. At this moment, can I just give us a few things for us to think about and to hopefully apply this coming week? Like, we're not going to experience this power by just knowing it in our heads. We're going to actually do something. And let's testify that as we did X, Y, Z, whatever it is, that we actually experienced the power of God in my life, in this situation. So here's some next steps for us to pray through and ask God to help us in obeying his word. The first thing is this: accept your limitations and humanness. You know, many of us, for whatever reason, we're trying to prove ourselves. We're trying to perform in such a way so that we won't lose people's approval or whatever it may be. But one of the first things to experience the power of God is when you just humbly accept your limitations and your humanness. That you're not God. You can't do everything. That you need him. Which leads to the second thing I want to encourage us, is to admit that you are powerless without Christ. See, it takes a very humble person. In fact, it takes a person of character and courage to be able to admit that they are powerless. Because we live in a culture that it's all about power. It's all about success. It's all about what we do. It's about the results. So we get so inundated in that kind of mindset that we don't want to admit to ourselves or to other people that we are powerless. We can't do it. We want to prove ourselves. We want to show people we can do it. What if we not only accept our limitations and humanness, but we actually admit it, we confess it, we share that with others, that I'm really tired right now, that I'm feeling very powerless right now, that I have this thing coming up and I know that I cannot do it on my own strength or power. I need some prayer. So admit that you are powerless without Christ. The third thing is this, affirm what God has promised in his word. Because once you realize and you accept your limitations and you begin to admit that you are powerless without Christ, then you take his word and what he has said and what we just even studied this morning and all the other scriptural references of his word that are true, the words that he has spoken that are true. Then what you do is you begin to affirm it in your life. I believe that this is true. This is what the word of God says. This is what he has spoken to me as his promise. And you take those things and you affirm that because it's really about saying, God, I trust you. I affirm this, what you said in your word, because I believe in who you are. I take these words that you're saying in scripture because I believe and I put my hope in you and you alone. So study the Bible, know the word, memorize scripture, or even write some of these promises down and then affirm them in your life. And here's the last thing. Ask God for things boldly and victoriously. You know, many of us, when we pray, the reason why we're not experiencing his power is because the kind of prayers we lift up are, if I can say it, very wimpy prayers. Because we're afraid of making a mistake. We're afraid of not looking foolish because we pray for something that we're like, how in the world can you pray for that? But when you look all throughout scripture and even the people of God who prayed to God and Jesus and his followers and the things that they prayed for, the things that they did, even in the book of Acts, the miracles that they experienced, can you imagine? It's because a lot of times we don't ask, and we don't ask with boldness and with this courage and victory. So we're like, Lord, if you want to. And no, what if he does? If that is in his word, you love God and it's consistent with his scriptures, then you pray it as if it is true. To ask of God some of these things in your life that you can ask boldly, courageously, and you could ask from victory. That's when you will see God do some amazing things. I want to close at this moment with a video that I want to show you. There's a song called Come Jesus Come. And it's a song that I was listening to and it really ministered to me as I listened to the words. And a lot of times when you're struggling or when things are hard or sometimes I have to make some important decisions and I'm trying to seek God for wisdom, sometimes you face different criticism in your life, you go through a lot of different things, and those are the moments you sometimes wish that Jesus would come quickly. And the interesting thing about the song, when you listen to it, I want you to listen to the lyrics. Because when you listen to these words as it's being sung, what you will start realizing is these are not only scriptural truths, but this is something that's going to happen one day, that Jesus will come back. And that's why I love Revelation chapter 21, verse 4 and 5. It says, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. So until that time, of what we know that it's going to come, until that time, what we should be doing is praying and being reliant upon Jesus. And we say, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come into my life. Come in power. Because my hope is in you. May we experience this as we get ready for the new season. That as we are in this 21 days of prayer, that we will not just know it cognitively, but we will know it in our hearts, and we will obey, and we will pray together, not only collectively as a church, but we will pray individually, we'll pray in smaller groups, we'll pray in our life groups, that may we be a church that prays, because we know that through prayer, not only does it deepen our relationship with Jesus, but it makes us reliant upon Jesus. And that's when he does incredible things. And when you see him do those incredible things, you will know that our God is not only great in power and great in wisdom, but that power and wisdom he renders is to us so that we can live with our hearts, our lives, strength being renewed to do what he has called us to do for this season. So let's listen to the song. Afterwards, we'll have a time of response and prayer, and may we obey his word for the glory of God. So God bless you guys. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Harvest Mission Community Church podcast. For more information, visit our website at hongkong.hmcc.net.